up with a pastor friend of mine, and we were talking, and he has a congregation of about 1,500, and I had the opportunity of speaking to them about prayer. And one of the topic that God laid in my heart was teach us to pray. And when I went to that conference yesterday, it was so overwhelming. I don't think Daniel has seen me jumping up and shouting the way I was that yesterday. He has never seen that side of me. And he wasn't be looking at it like, but that's the Holy Spirit. Because it was just an overwhelming environment where you can see God's presence. And it was just confirming what God has been preparing for this fellowship. Because this is actually for us. And not just for anyone. It's for us at this time. And for us to rise in faith. The reading is Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 to 13. And part of it is the Lord's Prayer. So I've told Tyler to put that up. And I will start reading that chapter. And when we get to the Lord's Prayer, if you want to join me, please do. And it will be helpful for us to just read it together. And he said, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us these days our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is in a journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give you because is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. I say unto you, ask, and shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks, receive, and everyone that seeks, find. And to him that knock, the door is open. If the son shall ask bread of you that is a father and will give him a stone, and will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he for a fish give him serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. The Lord bless the reading of the word. This morning is just interesting, and in the next, it's a good opportunity that I have two Sundays to preach back to back. And in the next two Sundays, I want us to look at that word, teach us to pray. It's interesting because yesterday in the conference, one of the things that came up was that destinies of many nations is tied to the United Kingdom. And that many nations are praying for United Kingdom. And as many nations are praying for United Kingdom, so is many evil forces in other countries that these people, that this destiny is tied to United Nations, are also fighting to get rid of the grace that is upon this kingdom. And it's so interesting that those things are happening in a very subtle way. Witchcraft which I used to think is an African thing, has become a thing that is common in the UK. And it's so spoken of. You go to the town, and you go around the town, and you see people in different occultic mentality, and you ask yourself, what's going on here? And some people take Buddha's image as decoration in their houses. Buddha's image as decoration. And you go to some people's houses and you see Buddha's image and you ask them, do you know what you have in your house? Oh, it's just a decoration. But it's a presence. It's a presence that you've allowed into your environment. But that is an aside, because God wants us to know that we are in a time of battle. We are in a time of war. And like I said earlier, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. Talking about prayer and talking about this particular request that was made by a disciple to Jesus, coming to Jesus and say, teach us how to pray. Something comes to mind. Why is it at this stage that Jesus' disciples are coming to Jesus to say, teach us how to pray? Before then, let me take you back into that scripture. Before then, in that same Luke that we've read, they've gone out on a mission. So they're already people that knows the power in Christ. They've gone out on a mission they've been sent out in their 70s to go and preach. They've seen transfiguration of Jesus. They've been with Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration. They've gone on a mission of 12. The first mission was a mission of 70. They've gone on a mission of 12. Peter has confessed in faith that Jesus is the Son of God. So all this has happened. Why is it then at this stage that someone is saying, teach us how to pray? What's going on? Is it that they didn't know how to pray before then? So all the mission they've gone to, where were they? What has happened? Why is it that it is now that they're asking that Jesus teach us how to pray? One thing is very certain there, and one which I want us to look at. It might be very small, but I want us to look at it. They noticed Jesus praying, and it must have been a different way of praying for them to now say, hang on, we've prayed with you all this while. But after he had that prayer, they came to him and said, the Bible says, and it came to pass, after he was praying in a certain place. So they were with him in that certain place when he was praying. He said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Is one of the greatest problems with Christianity is that when you become satisfied with your current level, you place a limitation to your growth. And that is not just in Christianity, even in life. When you feel, I have arrived, you don't grow anymore. That is what has happened to Christianity in the UK. When we think we are there, we cannot go beyond that level. And that is a problem with every Christian. I've been a Christian for 35 years. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I know how to pray this set of prayer. And it's interesting that we have now limited ourselves to set of prayer as well. In some churches, they write out prayer for you to read. But that is limiting yourself. When you limit yourself, you don't grow. But when you have an insatiable hunger to learn, you will surely grow. And this is what is shown here by the disciple. they saw something so unique. Even after they've been with Jesus, after they've been sent out to minister to in their 70s, to minister in their 12, after they've confessed Jesus as the Son of God, after they've seen him transfigured on the mountain, and they still felt, hang on, this man is praying differently today. Teach us how to pray. There was an hunger in them. There was a burning in them. There was a desire in them to know more about what Jesus was doing. Do you have that hunger in you? Or have you got to that crescendo where you said, I'm there already. I know everything about Christianity. You can't teach me anything new. As a child I was growing up, as a young, not a child, but as a young Christian, I think I've shared that before here. There was a man in one of the churches where we used to grow as university student, and the man was on Easter Sundays and New Christmas, he would say, oh, all the story of Jesus we've had, we need to go home and eat now. We don't need to hear any story anymore. And he would just close the church that way, and he was the head of the church, and we were like, hang on, this is not church. But that is his level. That's where he is. And as a result, he remained that way. And our church is also dying because we've remained that way for a long time. We've kept ourselves. We are not growing. We don't have the desire to say, teach us how to pray. Because we have brought ourselves to that point where we look at it and said, oh, we've been doing this way, and we can't change it anymore. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The fervent, he didn't say the prayer of the righteous, the fervent. There's this thing about fervent prayer. He says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. There's some times when you travel in prayer. The Bible says Jesus was in that garden. He was praying. Sweat was coming out like the drips of blood. There's some prayers that you can't pray just sitting down and folding your hands. There is a desire to hunger. There is a desire to learn more. And the disciples, because of that desire, were able to ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. There's our topic for this year series is, we have seen the star in the east. And it sounds more like a Christmas topic, but it's not just Christmas topic. The people that saw the stars, what were they called? They were wise men, isn't it? They were wise men. They were stargazers. And what were they gazing into star for? They were looking for something unique. They were looking for signs. They were looking for something that they've never seen. Then all of a sudden, a star came beaming at them. At that point in their life, the star came beaming at them. And what did they do? They didn't just take the star and say, oh, that's a special star. They were tracing the star. And when they got to Herod, they said, we've seen the star in the east, and we're following the star. And until they met Jesus, they kept following the stars until they met Jesus. That was a desire. That was an hunger. There was something in them that they were looking for. There was a desire for something in their heart. And that desire, as Christians, I want to encourage us this morning that we need to have an insatiable hunger to learn more about God. Until we have that insatiable hunger to learn more about God, we will be limited. And I want to tell you, the devil does not rest. He's at work. And how do I know this? When God was asking them, where have you been? And when in Job, he was asking the devil, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro of their searching. If you come to that conference yesterday, you will feel God's presence. You can feel it. Yeah, I've been searching to and fro. The devil is not sitting down. So, Christian, do not find rest. And there's a song that says that, Christian, do not find rest. Listen to what the angel is saying. You are in the midst of the enemies. Watch and pray. That's a song that says that. And that is where we are as Christian. That is the position we have as we find ourselves. And to have that hunger and desire, we need to have a positive attitude towards God's word. How do we have a positive attitude towards God's word? Be deliberate about your continuous pursuit of knowledge and his ways. It's very easy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is what you have inside of you that you will bring out of you. So, when the word dwells in you, you'll be able to use the word to fight the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You cannot resist the devil if you don't know those words. The devil will not flee from you if you don't know the words. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Those things are just there. The scriptures are there. And Jesus was telling, the disciples saw this and they were like, hang on, we want to know what you have. That power of prayer that you have, we want to have that experience. Micah chapter 4, verse 2. It says, and many nations shall come. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth in Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is the desire, the hunger. Let us go. Let us strive. Let us be there. Let us be in that Bible detective. Let us be in that evening prayer. Let us be in that prayer meeting. Let us be in that fellowship. Let us be in that place where the word of God is being shared. Let me wake up in the morning and take my Bible and just study the word. Let me be a Berean Christian and just read through every word that has been preached to me. Let me not just take the word and close my Bible and then pick my Bible up on another Sunday. Let me continue to search the word, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Micah 4, verse 3. It says, and he shall judge among the people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords unto plowshare and their spears into prongholds. Nations shall not leave up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn any war anymore, because they don't need to fight anymore. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't need the sword. So that answers. You see, when I said this morning that my message has already been preached, you can see I was coming in. Our brother Alan was asking me, why was there that killing in the Old Testament? And then as we were praying, we just said, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And that is it. Everything is there. We don't, because our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we don't need the killing anymore. We fight spiritual battle, because our enemies are not physical people anymore. They are wickedness in high places. That is why we need to seek and ask God, teach us how to pray. Let us know a prayer in season. The prayer that will pray that will unlock doors. The prayer that will pray that will break down the walls of Jericho. It's interesting how people pray different prayers at different times. In the wall of Jericho, do you know that there was just a matter of, let us sing and run around the walls? And they were going around the walls Seven times they went, seven times in 7 days they went. And then on the seventh day, they've circled the world seven times. On the seventh day, they now circled it seven times on the seventh day. A world is circled each day one time. On the seventh day, they circled it seven times. Isn't that amazing? You've already circled it one time a day. And then on the seventh day, you circled it seven times. So what does that tell us? That prayer doesn't have to be in a certain format. It doesn't have to be, oh, we've prayed this way. We've prayed that prayer. God has a unique way of speaking into our heart. And as God speaks into your heart, he wants you to act. God is doing great things. He's preparing us for something big that is on his way. And the good thing about prayer is that it brings us into a spiritual family. It brings us into a spiritual family, and it gives us the ability to come into an accurate worship in the world. And it gives us the ability to receive the truth of God's word. It transforms us into a new level. As believers, one of the things we must do intentionally, and that is our insatiable desire, is to seek to understand God's words. It is only by understanding God's word that we are immune and fortified. I don't know whether you understand that. Thy word have I kept in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Thy word have I kept in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light. So you can see the way the word of God is. If we have the word, it will guide us. It will direct us. So when you want to pray, you need to understand the word. These disciples must have seen Jesus doing something unique and said, come, teach us this thing that you're doing that is different from what we've seen before. Teach us this thing that you're doing that is different from what you've done before. You've not prayed this way before. Why are you praying this way now? And then they begin to seek and desire. They begin to hunger and cry. People of God, this is the time. There is no other time than this. As people that have been called out to ask God, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray about Brexit. Teach us how to pray about our home. Teach us how to pray about our nation. Teach us how to pray about our life. Teach us how to pray about our sickness. Teach us how to pray about our finances. Teach us how to pray. This is the time. And because we are seeking his face, he will answer us. Psalm 65 verse 2 says, oh, thou that heareth prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. The desire to seek to pray is something that God has asked us to do. Because he told his disciples, he said, these things cannot be done except by prayer and fasting. They wanted to do signs and wonders. They were seeking to do signs and wonders. And he said, no, you can't do this except by prayer and fasting. He wanted them to learn how to pray. But he also told them, and that is one of the messages that came out from going to that conference as well. He also told them, it is not like the hypocrite. You don't pray like the hypocrite. Because sometimes we become so selfish. It is me, I, myself. It is just that. And then we pray in the gallery. We pray in the gallery, or like the Pharisees who went into the temple. I said, I'm not like that person. I'm different from that person. I'm not like that sinner who robs people. I keep all the laws and everything. No. It is not by work of righteousness, but by his grace alone. If we don't have to pray like an hypocrite. We don't have to pray. We need to, number one of the things that God was saying to me when I was preparing this message was, do we even raise altars of prayer in our home? Do we have time to go on our knees before God in our home? Do we deal with situations with prayer? Or we finish doing what we want to do and then we pray over it? We have done what we want to do and we say, God, we've done it now. Just sanction what we've done. Lord, just bless it. We've done it. Bless it, Lord. Lord, just bless what we've done. Or do we seek first the face of God? A good example is David. David had his family and his children taken. Someone has come into his household. He went to war and he was coming back and they've robbed him of everything he has and his family's. And he went to God and said, God, the first thing that will come to any man's mind is, someone has come to rob my family, I'm going after them. No. David said, God, should I go? God said, you can go. He said, God, will I? After God has told him, you can go, he went back to God and said, God, will I conquer? God said, yes, you will conquer. He was seeking God's face for every step. He did not just rush in to the battle. He wanted God to lead him into the battle. David sought God in every way. And as a result of that, he won his battle. God even called him a man after my heart. These are the things that we need to look at. Matthew 6:6 says, when thou pray, enter into your closet and shut your door. Pray to the Father in secret. And that Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. Matthew 6:7 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as ye then do, for they think they shall be heard for more speaking. The main thing about prayer is the accuracy of prayer and believing that you will receive. Genuine prayer requires a pure motive. A pure motive. Prayer that is channeled. Lord, our country is going through a difficult time. What are you going to do? How are we going to address it? Lord, I am going through this battle in my life. I'm inviting you into it. You have to have a motive. You have to pray, channeling your prayer. But we don't, sometimes we don't pray for people to just see that we can pray. We pray to God because it's a communication between myself, yourself, and God. Not a communication with me, it's a communication between yourself and God. The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Matthew 6:8 says, but ye therefore, like unto themselves, for your Father knoweth what thou think, what you have need of before you ask. But you are encouraged to pray so that you can ask of him things that you need. Jesus then told them that in praying, this is what you need to say. Our Father, who art in heaven. Why do you need to pray? why do you need to pray? And why do you need, why do we need prayers? It is a commandment for every Christian to pray. Luke 1:18 says, men ought to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Consistent prayer, continue prayer. A Christian who is what being called a Christian must have a prayer life. Because without prayer life, you're not a Christian. Number two is that it is our major strategy of fellowshipping with the Father. Prayer is a strategy of a Christian fellowshipping with the Father. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Prayer is one of the strategies of fellowship and communion, intimacy, intercourse, and participation with the Spirit. Number three, I'm just going to quickly go through this so that we can round up and I will continue next week. Number three, it is a platform for growth and transformation. Luke 9:28-29. Believers who do not pray cannot grow effectively. Prayer is a system allocated for your growth and transformation. A sign of prayerlessness is lack of discernment. And I will say this again. When you don't pray, you don't see. Your eyes are not open. As we were praying in that place yesterday, God was opening the eyes of everyone. It wasn't just the people in front. You can hear prophetic even from people who were in the congregation. And you can hear it clearly. Some of them were speaking in diverse tongues, and you can, if you're spiritually inclined, you can understand where they were going, what they were saying, and how they were saying it. And everybody was, the place, the atmosphere was filled with God's presence. And you could feel God's glory just radiating in the midst of the people. But what has our church turned to? We've become so lukewarm and dead. So when the devil came into us in his own devious ways, we allowed him to penetrate. And that is why we are where we are now. The devil was able to penetrate. But don't worry, the battle is not lost. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The battle is not lost because we've been told to put on the whole armor of God. And that armor of God is what we're going to use to fight the devices of the devil. Because he said, when we put on the armor, what did he say we should do? We should stand. We should just stand and see the salvation of God. This nation is going to go through transformation that the whole world will say, wow, God is in Zion. God is in Zion. This is the destination of this nation. Forget, don't let anyone put anything in your mind. God will fight the battle. But he needs you. He needs me. He needs us to go back on our knees and call God in heaven to come down and take control. God wants to show himself great in this nation. God wants to show himself great in your life, in your home. But he needs you to invite him into your home. And you cannot invite him except you go into that atmosphere where he's been invited. And that's the atmosphere of prayer. The atmosphere where God will come in and reign and rule is an atmosphere of prayer. I'll tell you one thing. Praise is part of prayer. And as you praise God, you see, it's interesting. This week I was reading, and God confirmed it as well in that fellowship, in that meeting yesterday, when Ezekiah was going to battle, And God chose singers to go ahead of him. Singers were the one that went ahead and were singing praises to God. And I remember that song was being sung. The song they were singing was being sung yesterday, and I was jumping, and I could hear the drums of war being sung. And it was like, wow. It's like, for the Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. That is what the singers were saying. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. And God raised armies. Armies against the enemies. And you could see God won the battle. So praise is part of prayer. And as you praise God, maybe you don't have words to say. And as you praise him, he comes in and fights your battle. The Bible says the Spirit intercedes for us with a groaning that we cannot even understand. That is prayer. But we need to rise up. We need to rise up. The faculty of spiritual perceptions and the discerning of things around us is a spiritual growth that can only be achieved by prayer. Prayerlessness alters the believer's spiritual perception and limits his ease or possibility to receive from God in the realms of the Spirit. There are numerous channels through which God communicates his intent to believers. This is usually determined by your level of renewal. God speaks in songs. God speaks in psalms. God speaks in his word. God speaks to us in diverse ways. Prayer is a platform of warfare and intercession. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to stop at that point now. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. And if as Bible students, we know that story. People were in prison. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex Satan of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. So James, the brother of John, was already dead by the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he locked Peter up with the intention of killing Peter. But the people did not stop praying. They gathered in a room and they were praying. What did the Bible say? The prison gate was open. He made the impossible possible. The God that called things that were not as if they were. It is the same God. He has never changed. And Peter walked out. Even the people that were praying, the Bible says that the people that were praying could not even believe it that Peter was out. They were like, when he was knocking on the door, they were like, hang on. The girl that came to answer the door said, someone is at the door. He said, his name is Peter. I'm like, oh, come on, let's continue with our prayer. That is how God works. This is a power of God that's made manifest in prayer. I want to encourage you that faith rises when we pray. Faith comes alive when we pray. And it is important that as Christians we learn how to stand in prayer. Next week we're going to continue in this topic, but I want to encourage you that please make it a point of duty to make this week a week of prayer. Don't look at what is happening in the parliament. Don't look at what is happening around you. Pray to God to intervene in situations around you. The God that answered the prayer of the people in the time past will answer your prayer. If anything at all, the three Hebrew brothers are enough story to tell about how people were being thrown. The people that were to throw these people into fire themselves died of the flame that comes out of the fire. And then these people were thrown into the fire, and the fire could not burn them. Brothers and sisters, it's time to ask God, teach us how to pray. Let us pray. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's just pray. Just ask God, speak to God this morning. Just tell him, my desire is to know more of you. My desire is to pray into existence these things that are not. Lord, I don't want to limit you in my life. I want you to show yourself great and mighty so that the world might see your glory. Just pray.